everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, and whatever else comes to our minds. My name is Mark. I am your humble host, and I am joined this week, as always, by your friends and mine, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How's it going?
You know, I'm doing well. Any day above ground is a good one, unless you're a coal miner.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm podcasting to you guys live tonight from Eastland Suites in beautiful Bloomington, Illinois.
You know, I've always wanted to make the trip to Bloomington. It's just I've never been able to get there. It's right above Las Vegas. Once I can get to Bloomington, I can really get down the rest of my list.
The funny thing about Bloomington is you can never just say Bloomington. It's got a hyphen, and there's a few towns in Illinois like this. This is called Bloomington Normal.
What?
Yeah, there's a town right next to it named Normal, Illinois, and they're both called Bloomington Normal, usually.
Yeah, like the Fort Worth people get really mad if you just call it Dallas, for example, you know.
Okay, I got to ask you two things. One, what is Bloomington Normal known for? Because every town has to be known for something, right?
Illinois State University.
Oh, so crazy college bars.
Probably. I don't know. You're probably right. The person next to me, I should ask him, because he's got a steady stream of college people in and out of that room.
How about you wait at Baby Dot?
Is there a sock on the door?
The door's never shut. I didn't see a sock. But there's just females with bottles of stuff entering and leaving.
Okay. By the way, yes, Mark, I had crazy snow this past week. The side of my house, the snow was maybe like a third of an inch, maybe. I mean, it was like nothing. But then out in my driveway, it was literally up to my chest. In snow, it was so ridiculous. Couldn't leave the house for 4 days, I want to say, because 3 of the days I wasn't shoveling. I just didn't feel like going to work. And I got to say, let me restart this hangout over here. After being forced to spend that much time with me and my children, the very first full actual day back to work, my wife asked me in the car, she said, would you mind if maybe I took a trip with my sister, to which I just replied, you know, of course you can. I always encourage you as often as you want to get away from me and go have fun. So she took that to heart very quickly. Mm. She booked a 5-day trip for her and her sister, St. Patrick's Day weekend to Vegas.
All righty then.
Yeah. So I drive my wife to go to Vegas for 5 days and my kids.
A couple of summers ago.
The kids are going too?
As we were getting to... go ahead.
Kids are here.
With you. Yeah.
With me.
A couple of summers ago, as we were getting into bed on Friday night, my wife turns to me and says, kids and I are going back to Texas in the morning. We leave at like 9. I'm like, are you coming back? Because that kind of statement sounds like you're leaving me.
Yeah.
And she had just planned a whole vacation and hadn't bothered to tell me at any point. She knew I was working, I couldn't take off, so she just planned it without me. But it was one of those, yeah, we're leaving. Okay.
She didn't want you to feel bad.
Yeah, awkward pause. You're waiting for some follow-up, we'll be back on Thursday. not good. But I literally tried to like do everything short of holding my wife around the neck, saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Get away from me for a little bit. And I'm joined again by someone standing behind me with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles shirt, who, if I look at the clock, it's well past his bedtime. Billy?
Yeah?
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Okay. I love you. Go to bed.
You know what this means, Mark?
What's that?
This means that Door's getting an automatic pass to go to Vegas also.
Yes.
Well, it's not written in stone, partially because she also took away my stone chisel, but I'm already mentally preparing for next January.
Do you have a brother, Dora?
I do, but I don't speak of him because he's...
So you can't use that excuse. You went away with your sister. I get to go away with my brother.
Oh, well, if I did, only one of us would come back. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, that's kind of what would happen if my brother and I went away for a week together. One of us would come home.
And I'm pretty sure it'd be me because he's damaged goods.
You guys, man.
My brother's 5'10 and maybe 120 pounds. So who do you think might win?
Yeah.
If you're awake, I'm going to vote for you.
He was 3 years older, and for a long time that meant 3 years bigger until I hit about 13, and that wasn't the case anymore. And good thing I'm not a vindictive person. Bummer.
I was going to say, because I'm thinking the only thing you would have had to say is game on.
Hey, let's talk about some Android apps, shall we? Eric, why don't you get us started?
Sure. Kinds of them.
Who did you say? Eric. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, since Dor was so inquisitive about the area that I'm at and what it's famous for tonight, I'm going to start us out with an app called Tripse, T-R-I-P-S-E-E. And this is supposed to be an app that you would load up on your device prior to your trip, so you can like study the area and kind of plan out what you want to do rather than just wing it like I always do. So it kind of didn't do much for me. And it could be the location I'm at, but it basically told me where every part.
Bloomington Normal just didn't light it up.
Well, there's stuff. There's definitely stuff, but it's mostly mansions and parts of the university, different parts of the university and mansions. It was the main things that I found here.
What's the other app that does the same thing?
The one that tells you about important locations, including historical locations.
I can't remember.
The Google one?
Well, Google bought them.
Pops.
Yeah. And they made the crappy GPS-enabled game that I can't stand. Ingress.
Yeah.
Field trip?
Yes, field trip.
Yeah.
This is
an interesting idea for an app. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think if I was going to Chicago and I wanted to know what was going to be around my hotel within walking distance, it may be a lot more of a relevant app, you know.
The trick with these kind of apps is it's either feast or famine, you know, and it's all about the sliders. If you want to see everything, you know, like, for example, in North Georgia where I live, every square foot of this area has had at least 5 major battles on it in, you know, in history. And so if you turn on the history thing, you're going to drain your battery with alerts. You know, they're in Bloomington Normal. If you turn on the nightlife thing, odds are it's going to be some crickets chirping. It's always the challenge there of what do you want to see? And that's why I think apps like Google Now win, because they already know what you like.
I don't know if you can hear that. I think I must be close to an airport, too. Just realized this.
Nope, can't hear it. Sounds fine. Okay. I'll say I'm an antisocial fellow natively, but I'm the kind of person when I go to a town, I don't want what some algorithm says I should check out. I want to know somebody who is there or who was there. Literally, I'll ask like even a waitress or a bartender, where should I go? What should I see? What should I do? What's interesting here? What's different here?
Wasn't that the promise of Foursquare? It was supposed to be your social network location specific.
I'll say yes, just because it sounds appropriate, but I'm honestly not sure.
Field trip was nice. If you didn't know nothing about the area and you just stumble on things like Mark, I could see it going crazy, like what you said around your area. I've honestly had it give me maybe I could probably count on one hand how many times it popped up and told me, hey, something happened there. But yeah, feast or famine, like you said, though.
What was the Google goggle? No, it's layers. It was supposed to be camera and the augmented reality thing, and you could see what everything was. I always thought that was the great way to go, but it never worked. I mean, that nobody put into it what needed to be put into it.
Right.
Yeah, there was a couple of them. The only augmented reality thing I liked was the augmented reality GPS, where it literally would show you the street ahead of you and where in that street you were supposed to turn. And it actually worked because, like, in a couple places when I was in Baltimore, there are, like, you know, there's, like, small house, street, and then it says turn in 500 feet. The hell does that mean? You know, is that 500 feet or is that 550 feet? I don't know. So I actually used that augmented reality, and I could see, right past this house I turned. You know, that was one time where I thought augmented reality was functional, useful, and kind of cool looking.
Was that like ARGPS or something?
That sounds exactly right. Yes,
that's okay.
Okay, I guess we kind of stomped all over that one, talking about other apps that we didn't like, and we didn't really talk about that. Fine. One. So I'm going to bring an app, and it's not a new app, but it's new to the Play Store. The Zcast app is now live in the Play Store. No longer, well, I started to say beta no more, but it's still beta. It's just now public beta. But it's not called Zcast anymore because there's already another app called Zcast. It's called Castback. Podcast, feedback, Castback. But you can't search for Castback because when the developer first put it in there, he called it Zcast, and apparently you can't change that. Therefore, the riddle is solved of apps that have one name in the Play Store and another name of the app. Once you load once you load it, you can't change it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the way I always tell is most of the time they put the name in the physical file name, which becomes the URL name. And yes, when I look at this one, I can see com.qijaz221.zcast.
So is it going to go through another name change once it comes out of beta then, so everything can be correct?
I don't think so. I think we'll just have to figure out some creative way to work the URL.
Well, the one thing I would heavily encourage him is to basically, this is Google Play SEO. You literally, in your description, say, Castback can do this. Castback can do that. Castback is a unique, and just keep saying the word Castback in the description, and that will help.
Actually, it did work. He edited the description. The first word in it is now Castback. Castback lets you post comments. So now if you search for Castback, you can find it. That wasn't true a couple of days ago.
No, still today, you search for Castback, you do not see it. I don't see
it. When I search for Castback, it showed up.
When I search for Zcast.
So Castback, one word, no spaces. It worked. Eric, give it a try. Yeah. Be the tiebreaker.
I will. I'm trying it right now.
Anyway, in case you don't remember, Castback is the app it was my brainchild. I had this yearning, lo these many years ago, why can't I talk back to people while I'm listening? Why can't I record it? Why can't I see what other people have said while the thing is playing? And so I have opined about this many times on various podcasts I've done throughout the years. And a fellow by the name of Kaiser took me up on it and said, that sounds like fun. And so it's been in limited beta for a while now. And now it's in public beta. And I really encourage you to check it out. The feature set isn't all there yet. There are some features that we're working on, like, for example, OPML import and export isn't there yet. It's coming. So for right now, you have to search to find your things. You can't add anything that's not in, for example, the iTunes database, because that's what it uses to search. You can't search for a straight URL. These are things that are coming, but the basic functionality is there. It's relatively crash-proof. We've had quite a few people using it for a while now on various devices. The interface is slick. Check it out, Castback. I really think that it's going to become your one podcast player to rule them all.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I used Dog Catcher when it was literally only in beta. I've used countless podcatching clients. For as young as this app is, it already looks better than most of them at this same stage. I think he's off to a good, solid, simplistic base for the application, how to access the feeds, how to access the shows, how to comment, how to play, how to speed up, how to, you know, do that kind of thing. I think his UI design sense is good and sharp. Only going to get better. That's what I'll say. Cause like you, Mark, once I heard you mention it on your old show, now the new show, same show, I saw it grow and it was already pretty solid. As soon as he introduced speed up, I pushed that thing up as far as I could go, farther than I listened to it, and there was no performance degradation, and that is very rare on podcasting apps, which tells me he's starting with a good code base. So this is really going to grow and just keep getting better. I enjoy watching these kind of apps grow. So I have it installed. It's not my main 9-to-5 one, but it's there, and I am using it.
Yeah, it doesn't kill your battery. Okay. Has intuitive notifications, both for pull down notifications and lock screen notifications that let you fast forward, pause, that sort of thing. It's media control. I push the button on my headset to pause and play it, and some of the mature podcast players that I've tried can't do that. I really like it. Check it out, Castback. That is definitely a like from Mark. So Eric, when you searched, what'd you find?
It's number 3 when I search for Castback, all one word.
Great.
So that's good. I've been using it as my daily driver since about a week after, probably the second iteration that you sent me. I deleted all my other podcast players because I wanted to be all in on this one, and it's gotten better over time. There's still a couple of, and one thing I noticed today, and I had to go back to see which version I had loaded on it because I was using it on my new phone and it still had the Z, like favicon up in the notification area that it was one of my open programs or apps on my phone. So I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it's not a castback symbol. It's still a Z up there. This little thing. It's been fine. There's, the little things like, when you first open it up, it must be like automatically set to search for Linux podcasts. Yet the most important ones that I can think of aren't the first ones. And someone with influence should be able to manipulate that. But that just shows he's true to the Apple game there.
This is exactly how every podcasting app is. When you load it up, the first thing you see is the podcast developer's preferred shows. It's his stuff. It's what he wants to show first. So there's no right or wrong. It's what he wants to do.
Is it though?
Yeah, I guarantee it.
That's not just a general search for Linux, Mark. What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's probably a mix between the two. It's front loaded. It's a search, but it's a search that he put in there. But for example, my Everyday Linux podcast, this started life as the Everyday Linux app. And that was the one feed that you could do. When he started making it multiple feeds, Everyday Linux didn't show up in the search. You could search for it, but it wasn't one of the first things. So I'm not really sure what governs that, but most people don't really care about the defaults. I mean, I don't think so. You're gonna search for what you want anyway, but it would be nice if I'm complaining that he's not playing enough favoritism. I want all my stuff to be the first thing that shows up.
Well, when I type in Android, I don't expect this podcast to be. Never mind. I do expect this one to be first, but I'm not. Expecting it to be first.
I do know for a fact he's using the Apple API to search the iTunes Store. Whether we like it or not, that is the podcast database of record.
And the fault with that is before this podcast, which does actually record every week, used to be every day, used to be every 3 days. There's ones that haven't made a recording since 2012 that come up immediately in the Apple search. So that's
why I'll say the best podcasting apps do not use just the pure Apple results because the Apple results suck. They constantly have by the top things that haven't been produced for years.
This is where I'd like Google just to start into the podcast. I know they're teasing it,
but Google is as much as they claim to be open, they kind of hate APIs. So I have a feeling that once they do release their big database, there won't be an API for it. You'll have to use their app to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Argue that.
So 2 weeks hence on let me get my dates right. Is it the 10th? No, that's not right. It's the 4th. On the 4th, next week, the developer of the app will be here with us. So you can grill him in person, Eric.
I won't grill him. I will praise him and thank him.
Yeah. I'm just amazed how quickly he's able to make something pretty that doesn't crash. Because I know if I was making an app, dude, it would be god awful. It would be so ugly. And it would probably cause phones to boot loop.
Yeah. He's a solid developer and from what I can tell, a really nice guy with a handsome beard.
Well, that always helps, right?
Yeah, that's a plus for
all right.
Two-thirds of the people.
Moving on from the infomercial, Dor, what apps do you have for us this evening?
Okay, this app, this is utter ridiculous, classic Dor favoritism. And if you don't know what I mean when I say this, then I'm very sorry. But the app is called Waffles-Be an Anchor. And because it's called Waffles, I had to bring it up because everybody should like waffles in one form or another. They're delicious. They're flaky. They're chewy. And they're crispy. It's a kind of miracle all wrapped in one. But this app, unfortunately, has nothing to do with the delicious meal/dessert because you can even have chicken in waffles or you could have waffle covered in ice cream. I mean, it's so... What you can do with it is amazing.
Apparently, it's only available for use by hipster chicks.
Well, that's the thing. This isn't about Belgian cuisine. Instead, this is a selfie-loving hipster chick one to be a news anchor type medium. The tagline is, everyone is an anchor. And every shot you look at, none of them look like, A, they're trying to be professional. B, they're trying to be businesslike. They're not telling you the way it is. They're all like young 20-something girls. So, you know, and it says there are 5 reasons that you can't miss Waffles. It's an app for everyone to share interesting things that are happening near and around you. And you get paid. A international news, live events, or cool trip can be your material in Waffle. You are the anchor of your life, and everyone can explore the world through your beautiful eyes.
So there's another name for this. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Instagram. Yeah, that's what this is.
But this is video. You can do video with this.
Guess where I am? The beach is so peaceful. Let me show you. That's
right. And you can stream live video too. So this tries to be a little bit more than Instagram, but you got to remember the number 5 reason, Mark. It's going to be super fun. Right.
And you get paid. Who doesn't want to get paid?
You get paid.
It's got more than 100 installs, so that's nice.
Yeah, but I like money, though.
I like money, too.
It's got 9 reviews.
I'm just, I saw Waffles, and I was drawn toward it like a drunk to a bar. You know what I mean? I had to look at it. And then I looked at this first screenshot and said, oh, okay. And then I looked at the second screenshot. All right, that's a weird place, blue button, but let's move on. Then I looked at the third screenshot and said, "What? I'm really not sure what I'm looking at." So if you want to be a 20-something anchor that might be appropriate for, I don't know, the Russian naked news, then you might want to check out Waffles Be an Anchor.
It's funny because the first screenshot, you know, it says, let the world see the news that's going on through your beautiful eyes. The first screenshot is a girl in a pool.
You can't see her eyes.
With sunglasses on. You cannot, yeah, mirrored ones. You can't see her eyes at all. And I don't know what all could be going on in a pool so much. And she probably doesn't even have one hand on the camera.
No, clearly.
So that's somebody's filming her. Oh, maybe she's, I don't know.
Part of me thinks this is nothing more than a social experiment is what I'm thinking.
So when you used it, did it automatically use the front or rear camera?
Door literally installed it, then looked at the screenshots, then uninstalled it.
Oh. Because that would make a big difference. Because truly an anchor would be using the front screen, or front camera.
Rear camera.
Okay. To be an anchor, the definition I will say has changed a great deal back from the days of Walter Cronkite and the like. But if it ever means what this app is portraying, we are in Idiocracy.
At least it didn't say bacon.
There's no doubt.
It could have been worse. It could have been called Waffles and Bacon. That's the one saving grace.
That would be an insult. The door would probably
bias thing I'm saying.
Tie it to an anchor and throw it over the side of the boat then.
There's other than pretty women in the screenshots, I can find nothing good to say about this app. It does say something about our culture, where we think anybody with a Twitter account is a news anchor. The definition of news has definitely been sullied in recent years.
Yes.
I think Door is incommunicado for the moment. So, Eric, why don't you go ahead and bring us your next app?
Okay, my next app is not an app. I just want to share a little experience with this new device here. What do you think that is, Mark?
That is a Project Fi Google Nexus 6.
It is.
And that is a device that everyone background. Is screaming at, nice. Saying how great it is.
Thank you, Richard Quirin, for the pod nuts with the guy looking at his phone in the background. So did I get into my whole experience with U.S. Cellular on the show already?
Briefly, yes.
You just glanced on it, I will say this. And before you started, I just got to say, this is the phone that everyone who's a journalist is screaming about how great of a device this is, how perfect of a device this is.
Which could be a big point part of why I decided to get this one. Right. I was so extremely mad at U.S. Cellular that I had to leave their service completely. And I knew I didn't want to go, because I also have Comcast I don't like. And so for that reason only, I knew I didn't want to go to Verizon or AT&T because they are the blue and red wireless versions of Comcast, from what I understand, as far as customer service and treatment of their customers goes. So I applied for a Google Fi account a couple months back, and I got the invite probably a month ago, not knowing that this whole issue with U.S. Cellular taking advantage of people was going to happen. So I signed up. Within 3 days, I had this phone, which was 2 days ago. And I got to say, I've had the Note 4 for a long time, over a year, maybe a year and a half. This is not much of an upgrade from the Note 4. In fact, the build quality, this is my first Huawei device. It's probably a lot of people's first Huawei device. And I guess I just kind of took for granted the build quality of a Samsung. But this is nothing compared. I mean, the edges are rough and don't line up right. One side's raised, the other side's sunk. The color of this bottom piece doesn't match the rest of it. It's just, it feels chintzy. The metal doesn't feel as strong. I mean, I know I can throw this Samsung, or I don't know, maybe throw it might be a strong word, but you just know that this thing can take a beating. This feels very fragile. The Nexus.
It's an aluminum case, right?
Yeah, the 6P is aluminum. The back of it is. The very bottom of it's plastic, and the very top of it's glass.
To allow radio waves to get past the aluminum.
Right. Now, the Samsung is all metal framing around the edge, but the back of it is a snap-on, like, leathery plastic thing or whatever. But to feel it, I mean, you can't. If you put the Samsung in your hand and squeeze, the frame of this phone is not going to let you bend it. I don't have that same confidence with this. With this thing,
I'm sure you've seen the bending videos, right?
I did, and I sympathize. I really can feel that could possibly be a very realistic video. Like the Oppo that Dor checked out a couple weeks ago, the fingerprint reader on this is phenomenal, really nice. I mean, I was used to the Note's fingerprint reader where you had to slide your finger. I mean, it's always been accurate, but it does take a little longer. That one, the Nexus 6P has a very fast fingerprint reader. The camera, it's and I didn't realize this until afterwards, it's actually lower resolution than the Note 4, so, and you can tell it when you take pictures, they don't look as good. The speed of the device, I couldn't see really any speed increase over my very used Note 4 from this one being a brand new device.
Yeah, and I mean, I got to tell people this right now, okay? Eric is not particular. Eric is not snobbish. Eric is not an elitist when it comes to phone. He's a utilitarian. So when he gets a phone, he literally looks at it as a portable computing device, not some elitist, you know, Snapchat selfie-taking device kind of thing.
Right.
So when he's saying these words, I'm asking people to seriously take it to heart. So if you're thinking about a 6P, go physically touch it first.
Right. So in my opinion, I felt it was a downgrade to go to the 6P from my Note 4. And for the reasons I've mentioned, and then plus, I still consider the removable battery and the SD card as a plus for the Note. I think that's a good option. I like having it. Maybe I'll never swap the battery out. Maybe I'll never touch the SD card. But I know, especially when it comes to rooting and ROMing, as these phones age, that stuff does start to become a little more important. Okay, that enough about the phone itself. The service of Google Fi. So to get the invite, I had to modify my zip code because they were not going to sell a phone to me where I live. So I used a Chicago-ish zip code originally when I signed up, and that's probably how I got the invite quickly. Which is fine. I'm in Wi-Fi all the time. So it whether their Fi service, which uses T-Mobile and Sprint, whether that reaches me via the radio waves doesn't matter most of the day because I'm on Wi-Fi anyway, and it uses Wi-Fi to make your phone calls, SMS messages, and internet. And then it charges you. You know, you get unlimited texting, unlimited voice, and the gigabytes is charged at $10 per gig. So you know that was fine. And I'm going from unlimited data on this to something that's going to cost me per megabyte, really. On the Google Fi, but I'm just changing my whole attitude on it, changing my whole way usage, because I never used to turn my Wi-Fi on. Now I'll never turn my data on. We'll see how it goes. the customer service with the Nexus is, and the Google Fi, not the Nexus itself, but the Google Fi right now, and I don't know if it's just because it's by invitation only, there's probably never been a company that wasn't a super hyper local business that has had this good a customer service that I can remember. There's three ways to access them. You can chat with them on your computer or whatever live, or your phone. You can call them and they'll call you back within 1 or 2 minutes, or you can email them. And I haven't emailed, so I just tried the live chat and the other thing. So right when I received this, Google started out with a Valentine's Day promotion where they're taking $50 off. Well, I paid full price, so I didn't get the $50 off. So this phone out the door with taxes was $580-some. And so I called them up, and I'm like, hey, how about that $50 thing, since I just got my phone in the mail yesterday? And they hooked me up. They're like, yeah, I'll throw a $50 credit right on your bill. So that was cool. And then today I started thinking about it. You know, the more I used it for 2 straight days, and I'm like, this isn't worth it. I don't have a really good reason to have this phone when I have the Note 4 just sitting here. And I can use this for all my app exploration. And if there's something that needs data, it needs to be a roaming type, like an Ingress game or something, I can use whatever device I have. I don't need this big thing. So I'm going with the 5X. And so as of today, within the total of about 5 minutes, I was able to do an RMA on this phone. No questions asked. The guy said he never asked me why I wanted to return it at all. So I didn't tell him. And he sent me a postage sticker that I can print off and mail. And I ordered my other one without talking to a customer service agent. Well, I talked to him to get the RMA started, because I could have done it without talking to anybody, but I just wanted to make sure that the SIM card thing, I wanted to make sure that there wasn't going to be a gap in the time that I got my new phone and I got rid of this phone or anything like that, and anything weird. And he totally assured me, kind of told me what I had to do. The only thing that was lacking was a little bit of a miscommunication. It was hard for me to find where I could order another phone from Google Fi when I already had one open on my account. So I did the chat, and they're like, hey, could you send me the link? And a guy sent me the link immediately. Actually, I told him about the podcast, and he might be tuning in. Oh, and speaking of that, I need to give a shout out to Ryan at US Cellular, because he's the one who I finally, he was trying to fix the situation that another employee totally screwed up. But I don't know. You guys have any questions? I think that covers everything with my experience so far.
So why the 5X? You like Project Fi and you want to stay with it? Why move from one Nexus to the other when you didn't really like it?
Yeah, because I really don't have a carrier that I could use other than US Cellular. And the way they treated my father-in-law, I don't feel right going back to them and giving them any more money. So I need to leave them, and I don't want to deal with Verizon because
they're Verizon.
And yeah, that's the reason why I'm going to the 5X, because on Project Fi now you can use the 5X, the 6P, or the Nexus 6. Those are your three choices.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, the specs, I would say, of the 5X, I'm hoping the build quality is great, number one, because it has 2 gigs of RAM. I was really hoping it has more, but it does have a modern processor, Snapdragon 808, so that's a plus. Only a 2700 milliamp battery. That worries me just a touch. 16 or 32 gig storage, that's fair.
Which I went for the 32.
I know you're going for the 32.
Right.
There is no SD card slot, so you're not going to get that again.
And this one, by the way, was the 64 that I ordered for the
Nexus. Gotcha.
This 6P.
Right, and it has 12 megapixel camera, not fantastic. 5.2 inch display. I'm questioning whether or not you're going to hold that device in your hand and say, this is a child's toy.
I know. I know. I'm with you too there.
Next week, he'll say, so I returned the Nexus 5X and got a Nexus 6P.
I'm not going to do that.
I expect if he does not like this, he's going to look at Swappa and try to find the old Nexus 6. That's what I'm betting.
Possibly. You know one thing I do like, though? and I wasn't sure about it, is the USB-C plug-in that's on these.
Well, yeah, but it's not really USB-C. That's what, it's good that they have it, because future, they're leaning towards the future. That's great in ideology. But the bad thing is now you have to buy completely new sets of adapters, and it's not really USB-C. Just the socket is USB-C. Once you get past the socket, it's USB 2.0.
Well, whatever it is, it charges incredibly fast. And I had quick charging on the Note. Right. Nothing like what this charges. And this charges really fast off of my car charger, which is a 2.1 amp. And then also I've got a 4 amp power strip with 4 USB. And another neat thing is it charges fast. It says, hey, you get quick charging going, your battery will be full in, and it's got like a countdown. Like it tells you, right, in 3 minutes, you'll be at 100%.
Right.
I didn't have that before. Marshmallow, I didn't have enough time with it to really say too much about that. But now the USB-C, I was surprised, Dor, that it came with the C on both ends. It wasn't like a USB 2 or 3.0 plug on one end and the C on the other. It was C on both ends of this thing.
So you have to have an adapter to plug it into anything.
Yeah, it came with an adapter that plugs into an outlet, but as far as hooking this up to a computer, no.
Or your car charger.
Right, yeah. No way to do that right out of the box. I mean, well, a quick look at AMZ Review Trader took care of that like in 2 days, and I've got multiples of them now.
This just reinforces my feeling, I'm just going to say, towards Nexus devices, which is, you smell like a beta tester, Eric.
Yes, yeah, I feel like one. I do with this thing. I can't say that I would ever buy another Huawei. Just by the, I mean, this, if somebody would tell me a 100% Chinese phone, this is about what I would expect. I mean, it looks like they tried really hard, but it still has that, you can just tell. I mean, there's, I don't know why Samsung and South Korea can do so much better job, but I don't know. This is pretty.
It's because anybody else would charge $700 for it. They cut every corner they could.
Well, I mean,
it's no, by no means cheap, though. I mean, it's not a $300 phone acting like this or feeling like this.
Well, and I have to be honest, why I worry about the 5X. It is a $300 phone.
Right. And that, yeah. And 2 gigs of RAM, I'm not a huge fan about that. Well, but
I know. Here's what I hope. Motorola Moto Xs have less stats versus other phones, but the OS is truly optimized for the device. Maybe pure vanilla Android is coded well to work with that, and it will performance-wise be snappy, quick, and reliable. Maybe.
And I'll tell you, I am excited about being plain vanilla Nexus instant updates. I'm cheesing about that part because my Note 4, I'm still on Lollipop, you know, or whatever. So I do like that because they're so slow with their updates on my Note. And I think most of it's U.S. Cellular, probably, as much as it is Samsung.
When I was making my choice, it really came down to the Nexus 6P and the Moto X Pure, which I ended up buying. And the big reason was the USB-C port. I wasn't ready to go buy all new cables and all new adapters everywhere throughout my life. And I decided that the Moto X was the way to go. And based on your review and my experience, I think I made the right choice.
That purchase for the USB port, the USB cords, I mean, I've already got it routed in my car that goes up to the dock. And yeah,
no, it's not about the money. It's about there's no, like Dor saying, it's a change for no reason. You get no value out of it. It's just a different form factor without any benefit.
Well, I don't have to plug it in 4 times every time.
Yeah, turn it around. That's and turn it around again.
Touche.
I mean, to me, and I mentioned that to the two girls at work and my wife, and I don't know if it's a guy thing or if it's just a me thing, but they don't have that problem. I always have to at least plug it in 3 times before it gets charged.
The Znaps magnetic connectors that should be here any time around December 2015. We're just going to solve that problem for me that I got from Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I've tried to order those before too. Not from Kickstarter, but I never got mine either. And I totally ordered them from a place that they were actually selling them.
All right, that's weird. Since you breached the hardware threshold, I'm going to bring up some hardware and like yours, it was a near miss. And it was the, it's nothing, unique, right? There are tons of these around, but the one that in particular that I bought is called the JD Player, Zenoplies MX3.
Whoa. How do you spell
J-A-D-Y. And I don't want to even look at that. There's kind of no reason for it. Just any, if you search for MX3, I'm sure you're going to find it in Amazon, but, just any of the class of 4K, quad core, Android 4.4 TV boxes. And so this was my, it retails for, $50. I got it a little less expensively than that. And it's almost there. There's two kinds of problems. And I think the hardware is one. It's optimized for local playback. It handled my local files in full 4K, or not 4K, but 4HD, full HD, no problem, didn't miss a beat. Actually looked better than the current media center setup that I've got right now, better than both the Roku and the Raspberry Pi that I've got running. But when it went to streaming, sources like Netflix and YouTube, anything that required some software processing instead of full hardware, just couldn't do it. It couldn't do it well. And it's Android TV, which has some benefits, but some negatives. I think it's a case of doing lots of things, but not doing any of them particularly well. And it's an Android TV problem. Like, for example, Amazon got all pissy and you can't watch Prime Video on an Android device. So that's a little annoying if you're a Prime user. It also, even though it's Android, can't really work as an Android Cast device. There's hacks around that, but none of them are native. I should be able to cast from Android to Android, but Google wants to keep that the purview of the Chromecast, which is slightly more expensive or slightly less expensive than this. But you know, the Roku, the Chromecast, the things that do streaming well can't do local video well. So we're in that gray spot, particularly in the home theater world, where it's just things aren't there yet. And there's a lot of people to blame. Android is to blame. Apple is to blame. Amazon is to blame. And the hardware manufacturers are to blame. So while this is one particular device I'm reviewing, I think my overall thing is don't go spend your money on an Android TV unless you just want something to tinker with. If you want something to throw in the living room and just be your one box to rule them all, Android TV isn't it yet, no matter what hardware you put it on. And I think this is really solid hardware. It's just the software isn't there.
Now, is there a Nexus TV or a different Android TV? Isn't there a box that's like actually...
There was. They don't sell it anymore.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they took it off the market.
Okay. So it's kind of like basically you're running an Android operating system on some hardware with an HDMI port.
Essentially. Yes. And the hardware's great. So it's got not just an HDMI port. It's got two USB ports, two standard USB, an on-the-go USB port, an SD card, gigabit Ethernet, built-in Wi-Fi, SPDIF, if you really want to get to do optical audio, an HDMI port. It's quiet. It's cool in terms of temperature. The remote is nice. It works well. The hardware I have no complaints about. Just it's running Android. And maybe if I hack this thing and put something else on it, it'll be a little better. But I think the reason I'm bringing it to this show is not instead of your mini PC show is because it's not really about the hardware, but about the operating system. Android isn't ready for the living room yet.
Well, it matters what you want to do, I'll say, but if you go into it thinking it's going to be a complete home theater experience and you buy it literally for $50 off of Amazon, doesn't matter. It's going to pretty kind of suck. And they do still sell the Nexus Player. If you go to Best Buy, you can get it right now for $69. I'm sure that would be a better experience, but I'm also sure that you would say almost the same thing about that device because it's hampered in such a way because some people just don't want you to put their content on a TV through Android. So they purposely cripple stuff a little bit here, a little bit there, to where it really makes it hard and difficult unless you have an extremely niche need. Like you only want to play, YouTube videos, well, then great, you'll be fine. Or you only want to play these Plex playlists, well, then you'll be fine. But as soon as you want to do it as a complete solution, a full-blown computer will get you much closer. And still, that's not an easy task to do either.
Yeah, I think the Chromecast probably comes the closest in that you can throw almost anything to it, but you still have to have another device, right? In my house, we got five people and more than five devices. So everybody has a tablet or what. I could devote a tablet to the living room media center easily, but that's not what I want. Maybe it's an outdated way of thinking, but I want my seven-year-old to be able to pick up a remote with a familiar interface, and I don't want to have to teach her. I want her to be able to just intuitively know how it works. My 13-year-old, I don't worry about it. She'll figure it out. But so everything, and it's the babysitter problem too. I don't want to have a manual for the entertainment center every time, you know, the sweet little Aunt Bertha comes and watches the kids. And there's just the only way to do that right now is running a fairly powerful, not mini PC device with Windows, and that can do everything, but it still doesn't do everything well. You're going to have your little hitches and glitches, and I'm willing to put up with some of those, but I don't want to pay the Microsoft tax. I don't want another Windows box in my house.
Well, and you still, I don't think, going to find that one interface an 80-year-old person or a 6-year-old person can sit down to and find everything they want to pretty quick.
Well, I disagree with you. It's the thing that you hate. Cody is that interface.
No, it sucks.
Cody is great.
No way an 80-year-old is figuring out Cody.
Well, my 73-year-old mom has no trouble with it.
I think Cody,
somebody sat with her for a good half hour showing her, no, see, there's little menus over here too. No. There's little menus over here too.
Well, it depends. I'm not talking about configuring. I'm talking about sitting down and watching a movie. My 73-year-old mom, the first time she grabbed the remote, scrolled through the movies, picked the one she wanted.
You go down the bottom. You got movies.
You got movies. Then you have to go to the library. Then you have
not if you have it configured properly. You click movies. All 380 plus of my movies are displayed immediately.
Movies, pictures, and music, I think, is the three things you choose from.
And you can hide those. If you don't have any pictures, you hide the picture one. If you don't have, so there's some geek configuration, but that's, you have to accept that. The Roku, I think, is the least configurable device, but it does is not useful in any way for local media.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I love the interface of Roku because I literally give it to anybody, and all I got to do is say, look, there's your Netflix, and point with my finger, and then that's it. They're off to the races.
And I hear what you're saying, and no, the Plex app isn't a good solution. It is a solution. It's not a good solution.
No, it's perfect. If you sit there for 20 seconds and you don't have hundreds of movies, if you have 20, 60 movies, it's simple.
I'm just talking to the person who's yelling at their phone right now when I said that Roku can't play local media. I hear you. I hear you ranting out there, but it's just not there. It's not there yet.
Right.
And I think the reason it's not there is I'm the only person in the world that wants it. Most people are moving to everything online. They don't buy DVDs anymore. Their stuff is online. And as long as they can access it online, they're fine. So I think I'm looking to solve a problem that the world is not interested in solving anymore.
Yeah, Roku's up, down, left, right. If you can do that, you can navigate through a Roku.
And what I like about Roku is that each of the apps carries the interface on. So, like, if you're doing a Windows box, even Windows, like I said, when you move to the Android app, it's a new interface. When you move to the Amazon app, it's a new interface. Roku does a great job of constraining that. It does give you some limited feature sets because of that, but it is universal. And I like the search on a Roku. I type in the movie I want to watch or the star I want to see, and it lists everything, whether I have the app installed or not. And it'll say, hey, you can get this on Vudu for $2.99. Well, I don't have Vudu installed. Well, click this button, and you will. So Roku is great. It just needs local media support.
Yeah, and that's what I love about Roku for my wife is every channel, quote-unquote, acts and reacts exactly the same. So if she's witnessed one, she knows how the rest are going to work. When I showed her every Android solution I've had, as soon as she sees Netflix looks different than Plex, or this looks different than Crackle, or this, and it's the game off. I'm done. Get away from me.
Now you can run. Can you still used to be able to run Plex on Roku? Can you still do that?
You can, but it's not an intuitive interface.
Oh no, it's horrible on Roku.
Okay. Mark, this is very similar to the same device I purchased. I'm just curious because it's even the same manufacturer as the one I have. Did this come with Showbox and a bunch of all really odd apps on there built in from the factory for you?
I don't remember anything by that name. It had some apps on it, but no, Showbox doesn't ring a bell. It had some players. It had Kodi pre-configured. Netflix on it.
Did it have calendar or Gmail installed?
No. Well, that's a plus. It had the Play Store, but...
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, right. That's a plus, because the super cheap players, you load it up the first time and you see calculator, calendar.
No, this had a specific media launcher. It didn't go to the Google launcher. It was a media-specific launcher.
Yeah. And mine had Showbox is like kind of a streaming of torrents app, no. Which I would not have gone out of my way to install myself. It was on there. And
I remembered there. You saying you were kind of scared to put your credentials in it. I felt this one was entirely legit from the beginning.
Yeah, it sounds like. I mean, it hit like India Player and all these other weird foreign different from everywhere. Basically, if there's content out there, they put the app in the box I got.
So again, the only reason I bring this up is not because this is a hardware show, but because it's about Android. And I think this is an indictment on Android as a media center device. It just, yeah. You can do it, but kind of.
Did you hook up a keyboard to it?
Yes.
A keyboard touchpad or anything?
Yes.
Was it a Bluetooth one or a USB?
It was a USB, the one that I use on my Raspberry Pi now. Okay. And it just plugged in and worked.
I was impressed with that too. That the drivers were there for something like that. That was nice.
Yeah. The main reason I say configuration is I've owned now like 6 Android home theater type devices, and the ones that had good aspects to them, because none of them were good. It was clearly because of how the software was configured and how the interface was. If you have a good fly mouse, it's much less stressful and painful. Because if you have to literally click up and down to go through even just a basic interface, nobody wants to do that at home.
Right.
And when it's a bad interface, the frustration builds very quickly on Android on the home theater. My Remix Mini I have upstairs, it's fair. When I'm on the desktop, it's literally too many clicks, too many movements to get something started. But once I get something started, it works great. You know, the apps, I think, for consumption are good, but the interface to get to the apps, I don't know what it needs. Honestly, what would be great, and dare I say this, is voice actions. Instead of fumbling through anything, just say, watch, Trailer Park Boys or, you know, whatever, and just have it work.
And that's where Microsoft with the Xbox, they've got the Xbox as a media consumption machine.
And Fire TV, too.
Cable box, you put your cable box into it now, it does all the stuff, and now with the... When you have the what do they call it, the Kinect, it's all voice activated. You know, even it'll send signals to your TV, to your stereo receiver. You say Xbox volume up, volume down. Xbox go to CNBC. Nobody would do that, but Xbox go to Home Shopping Network. Much better, right? But anyway, yeah, we use that a lot. I mean, that's on our main television. We can't even change channels on the Comcast box that's hooked to it. It's all 100% through the Xbox. But they are sloppy with that interface too. I mean, it's supposedly Windows 10. I don't see it.
So I think the next thing I'm going to try is one of the VinSmile Atom sticks. But, you know, you're looking at almost 3 times the price for one of those. So it's not even a fair comparison. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a full desktop.
Right. I think we've beaten the hardware horse long enough, and in fact, we're running pretty long because of it. So, Dor, give us a couple of apps to end strong with.
Okay, first one I'm going to bring, Eric, it's a game, and there's no video. So,
must be awesome.
Great game. Great game.
Must be fan-diddly-tastic. And the first image in the Google Play Store, if you look at it, it looks like it's an artist's rendition of the female who was in that horrible movie, Jupiter Down Ascending. Or something.
Mila Kunis.
Yeah, thank you. Can never remember her name. This is a really pretty, like endless runner, shoot for the horizon, pod racer-esque. And I'm really sorry. I got to apologize right now for saying that. But it kind of is. like that. Really good looking. Honestly, genuine fun is what I'm going to say. just, you know, you just hit a button, you just race and try not to crash into things. I liked, I can't remember what it used to be called on Mario Kart, where you could play like the ghost mode, where you could see your previous runs shadowed.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I'm definitely a fan of these kind of games, and I just, you know, have to play them for a little bit, get my thrill, and then turn them off. This next one I'm going to bring, I think it has some history. I think this is one of the types of games that I'd never heard of before, called I Have No Mouth. Okay. It's by .emu, which is kind of popular. $3.99, T for teen. I think this used to be an old PC game is what I'm thinking. Because .emu, they do a couple other games that were old Windows games back in the day. This is like one of those, dare I say, it looked like one of those point-and-click adventure kind of games.
Myst style.
A little bit more motion and interaction. Myst was like first-person, you know, clicking doorways kind of thing. This was a little bit different, and it looked like there was some horror aspect to it. It seems like it might be one of those things that somebody out there loves. This really isn't for me, but I did like the graphic style because it took me back to my 20s, maybe.
Yeah, the full title is I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Just a scotch, and by that I mean, yes. Yes, it is. I really wish Eric had children younger, because I do think that this next one would be both making him happy and his kids happy. Goosebumps VR.
Oh, I saw this one. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah. The good thing is you can do 360 degree view, virtual reality, or the headset cardboard-esque experience. It's where you can quote unquote use your phone to be in the movie. I almost am afraid to give this to my children because I'm afraid how long it would take me to get my phone back.
Yeah, they'd love this.
Yeah, my kids went through a Goosebumps phase where they watched way, way too much of it. I will say that. Huh.
Classic cross-promotion of the movie.
Yes, yes.
I'm familiar with the books. I've never seen a movie of it.
Yeah. I know if it is, my kids will soon ask me to see it. Okay, now there's one app I got to put out here, and I'm really putting it out there off of nothing more than hearing Leo Laporte almost fawn over the developer during This Week in Google, even though the developer said the word Trump like 5 times. I thought that alone was going to cause Leo to go into like spasms. but with all that said, Leo still was insisting how this app is a quote-unquote fantastic curation of articles and information and feeds and streams application. I installed it, I just glanced at it, and my initial impression was this is not for me. I don't want to say hipster kind of news, but it definitely, there's more than a couple of things in the discovery tab, which is the first tab, that just made like, what am I looking at kind of thing. Besides Apple news, I clicked, I liked technology and nothing else. And I see in my list, dental and oral care. This is how to brush your teeth in space. I really don't care about that. NCAA football. I never clicked sports. Star Wars, which, okay, that's fine. Celeb. Democratic Party. I clicked technology. I don't like Democratic Party. There was more than a couple things where I'm just looking at it. Running. I never clicked anything like that. But it's in my Discover list. I want technology because I want to look at technology. Yet they're trying to shove this other stuff down my throat.
Door, it's funny that Leo had him on and discovered this app and brought it to everybody's attention, since you brought this app way back in episode 343.
No.
Yes, you did.
I'm regurgitating my own stuff.
Yes, way before Leo Laporte discovered this app for all of us. So there you go. He must have finally listened. And, you know, he said something during that show, too, that I just had to, like, oh, yeah, you must have listened to a different podcast. Because he was like, it had to do with gambling? I can't believe there's somebody gambling in this, or whatever. Yeah,
you know, outrageous. Outrageous, something like that. I'm shocked.
I'm shocked to hear that there's gambling in this Established. Yeah, right.
Well, I guess I'm happy that I brought this app before.
Yeah.
But after revisiting it, I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't shock me if 30 to 50% of the people listening to this show will load this app, and they might find it really useful. One of the interesting things I thought, but I can't figure it out yet, is hypothetically, Eric is already on this service. I can follow Eric, but then I can just say, just send me a daily email of everything Eric finds interesting. So I can get hand-curated content from other sources, from people, from individuals. I thought that sounded really interesting and cool, but I can't figure it out, at least in 20 minutes of playing with the app so far.
Yeah, if anybody would like to follow me on that, I'll just give you a warning right now. You can't unsee.
Well, no, here's the thing. You don't even have to be on the app, Eric. I can follow you on Twitter, and then all of your tweets can come to me the next day via email. Kind of thing. You don't even have to be a part of this app. And I thought that was really interesting, but I'm also not comfortable with letting any application just randomly search my contacts.
I hope you have 5 minutes free, because that's how much content you're going to find from me on Twitter. There's nothing. I don't do Twitter or Facebook, so I don't know.
Okay, I have to believe you.
It's just not for us, man. Some things just aren't for us, Dor.
Well, and this show isn't just for us either, Eric.
Yeah. This is just not for us.
I will take an interest in news again when the news people start taking an interest in what is actually new.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say
I like what you did there, Mark.
I thought he was going to say when they all start to use Waffle to be the anchor.
No, I used to be a real news hound, but I just, CNN and its ilk really killed it, because there's only so many. I mean, my perfect example of this is, I've probably told this story before. There's a Chinese buffet that people where I work like to go to. And on one wall, they have a big TV with CNN on it. And on the opposite wall, they have a big TV with Fox News. So it actually creates sort of a vortex of swirling death right in the middle of the restaurant. But it was back last summer when a plane had gone down, and the CNN crawl going across said, "Breaking news! No new news about crash." And that just told me all I ever needed to know about news.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it's, I believe, a network grab for ratings and really not much more.
Okay, let's get off of that distasteful subject. Thank you for bringing us a crap app that you actually brought yourself. That's sort of a closing the loop there. That's great.
Well, I'm very happy I could make you happy.
And I think you said it right. It's not a crap app. It's probably really good at what it does. It's just what it does isn't for you.
Well, I don't think it is, but I'm going to play with it some more. Maybe my ADHD just got the best of me or something. I don't know.
After listening to that episode of This Week in Google, I wanted to check out Nuzzle too, but then I saw that you had already reviewed it. I'm like, oh, there's no reason. Dor's already covered this. I was a little surprised by the announcement of the East Coast thing, though.
Coast. That's going to fail horribly.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to fail horribly.
Why would they have him do that? Of all the people they could have on the East Coast.
Why? Because, okay, it's mini rant, sorry. Because Leo keeps bringing talent into his studio, into his family, that have higher aspirations than just being part of his family. So there's a never-ending, constant refilling of the chair. And he cannot stop bringing people in because people keep leaving him. And for some reason, he thinks Jeff Jarvis is going to be around for a while.
Yeah, he probably will, if that's the way they're working, because he's not going anywhere.
If he starts to get too popular doing that, he'll leave and start his own thing.
He won't. I like Tom Merritt. I'll say that.
That makes one of us.
Okay, I'm not even going to play in these waters. Eric, sign off for us. Tell us some last words of wisdom from Bloomington Normal.
From Bloomington Normal, it is not snowing. There's very little snow on the ground, and I will have, hopefully, a Nexus 5X to review on the next show.
And Donald Trump is not in that town.
Okay. Not that I know of.
I will say of last weekend, we here in the South really got hammered, blizzard-like conditions. We got almost 3/4 inch, and it was almost 5 o'clock before it all melted. It was one of the worst snow events of my life.
Can I say, Dor, now that you mentioned that, I can't wait till Monday. I live a half an hour from Iowa, so we have had nothing but political campaign ads for the last month and a half. Just crazy stuff. So, yeah, Monday it all ends. The Iowa caucuses are over, and all these guys leave. So it's so nice.
They're all going to come back for the next election.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, when it gets closer to the primaries, we'll start to see the ads again. But it's been such a money grab for the TV stations out here. It's been crazy.
So, Dore, what words of wisdom do you have? How can people – I like you, Dore. I want to support you. How can I do about it? How can I throw money at your feet?
Okay, well, first off with that, I got to thank JB McDaniel. He's our newest Patreon contributor. Thank you very much, sir. But I also have to take this moment to stop and realize half of the people doing our Patreon are getting the $5 or higher level, which means every week they get the complete list of apps that are new into my queue, which is typically 2 to 3 times more than what I bring to the show. But I have to individually call out and thank Matthew Fuzzle. He has given to us the longest, I'm pretty sure, just about the longest, since September 27th, almost a third of our total combined money that we have got so far. So, Matthew, I literally salute you. Thank you very much for the support.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, no, he isn't even close to first. He's like to seventh. Well, he's by the beginning.
And the guy who actually is the first, we salute you, too.
Well, do you know who the first is? You should know who the first is. Captain Zero.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That I will say, if you like hearing my dulcet tones and want to hear more of them, go to elementop.com and check out the stuff I do there. I enjoy being here with you. Thank you for being a listener. There's two things that we need you to do. Thing number one, throw thousands of dollars at DoorSuite. Thing number two, go tell everybody you know to listen to this show. Those are the two things you can do to best help us. We hope to hear from you. We hope you're hanging out next week with us when we have the developer of the Castback app on. That'll be interesting. And we'll see you again, because that ends this episode of whatever the name of the show is. I am Android App Addicts. That's the one. Bye, everybody. I'll let you clean that one up. Yeah, you'll edit that. You'll make it all pretty.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.